Today, I want to start with the first on a short series of playing on this title here, Let Us Rise Up and Build. And while we're talking about this building here, there's also many other things that I believe God would have us to rise up and build. One of those things is our relationship with Him, our relationship with God. And before I do that, my wife is signaling to me, saying, let the kids go. So if you're 8 years old and under, kids, you better make your way. 8 years old. Is this okay? Okay. Now that we have that out of the way, 8-year-old kids and under. Let us rise up and build our relationship with God. As we approach the new year, that's number one on my heart and mind, is building that relationship stronger, better, deeper, knowing God more. And so my first question to you this morning of this short series is, how can I tell God I love Him? Any of you ever have a hard time expressing your love to your husband or your wife? Your boyfriend or girlfriend? If it's your boyfriend or girlfriend, don't worry too much. Don't do it, okay? Wait till you're married and then practice expressing your love. That was a trick question, okay? Expressing your love. How do I tell God I love Him? If somebody asks you, what does God want from you more than anything else? What do you say? If you say God wants moral devotion to Him, if you said God wants good ethical behavior, if you said God wants religious ritual, you'd be wrong. Because more than anything, God desires to have a true love affair with you. God loves you passionately, and He wants you to love Him passionately. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2, there's a passage written to a church. And I want you to notice this church. This is a church that seems to do everything just very well. They do all the right things. They say the right things. They sing the good songs. They give. They know the Bible well. But, look at verse 2. I know your deeds. I know your deeds, says God, your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles, but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. You've forsaken your first love. Let's pray. Lord, as we get ready to usher in a new year, I pray that we will draw our focus and our hearts and our attention to You. Help us today, this morning, to ask ourselves some hard questions. Help us, Lord, to ask ourselves, how can I tell You that I love You? What can I do? What do I do to show my love for my God, my Creator? And I pray that it will not be said of us that we've done everything right, but we've left our first love. That everything looks right on the outside. We say the right things, but we've left our first love. Open our hearts. Do Your work. Feel free to examine us. We give You permission. Feel free to touch us, to convict us, to change us. Have total freedom in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, I wish more of the church was here this morning. I don't know how many are here, but a lot are away. I think this is our worst Sunday that we've had for attendance in a while. For attendance. But you know what? I don't think it has to be the worst Sunday. So I take that back. It's not our worst Sunday. It can be a great Sunday. And I think the message today is for you. I think God wants you here. God has a plan for you to be here. How can I tell God that I love Him? There's a term in the Bible used for expressing love to God, and that simple word is worship. Worship. When do you worship? We had a worship service here this morning, and I got to play guitar this morning. I haven't done that for a long time, so that was a lot of fun. And I worship God. I worship God with my guitar. And you worship God with your voices. And that's fantastic. Why? Because we express love to God as we sing, don't we? That's what we should be doing, amen? Who are you singing to? You're trying to impress your wife? She's not impressed. You're trying to impress somebody? You're worshiping to express love to God. You may have noticed that sometimes it's hard for some people to say, I love you. I don't know why, but especially for a lot of men. It's hard for men to say, I love you. And to be affectionate. And to give a hug. It's just hard. But it's important. It's important. It's important for us to express that to our husbands, to our wives. It's important for us to express that to our kids. Fathers need to be generous and lavish affection on their kids and on their daughters. They need that. If you don't do that with your daughter, she's going to look out of affection. Maybe you grew up in a non-expressive home. Maybe you grew up in a home that never said, I love you, to you. Maybe you were taught to just stuff your emotions, just pack them in to hide them. Maybe you just don't know how to show affection. By the end of this hour, I hope that you will feel loved by God more than you have before. And I also hope that you will have learned ways that you can express your love to God more fully, more deeper, more of a deeper level of worship than you have before. For some of you in here, maybe you've not begun a relationship with God. And I hope that after today, you will see your need for God. You will see your need for this thing we call salvation. And you worship God with your life. Worship your Creator with your life. So how do I tell God I love Him? There are six things here on your notes. Number one is by making my time with Him a priority. My time with God is a priority. When we gather together as a church, don't ever let it just become a boring routine. A boring routine by you don't even think about it anymore. This is a divine appointment with your Creator. How many of us think of it as such? That we have an appointment with our God and our Creator. We cannot miss it. We cannot take it lightly. We cannot take it for granted. I remember when I was in hot pursuit of Jennifer before we got married. And I was after her. And I was trying to win her affections and her heart over to myself. So you young guys know what I mean. I never took an appointment with her lightly. If I ever said, tomorrow, Jen, I'll see you at 5 o'clock. I never just said, oh, I forgot about it. I didn't even think about it. I didn't. It was on my mind. It was in my heart. I was counting down the hours and the minutes until 5 o'clock would come around. And man, I was there early, if not on time. How many of us think the same of our appointments with the Lord, with God, our Creator? Do we have that same passion and desire for Him? If I couldn't make it, I would definitely call up and let her know why. I can't be there, hon. Well, I didn't call her hon at first. Okay. I can't be there, Jennifer, because I have something else that's come up. I want to be, but I can't. There was anticipation. Hebrews 10, verse 25 reminds us, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is written to a church that was facing persecution. They were facing troubles and trials. persecution. And Paul, or the writer of the book, writes to them and says, don't give up. Even in the face of the danger, even in the face of persecution, you cannot stop meeting together. You need this. This is a divine appointment with God. You need to gather. You need to encourage each other. Even more. Even more so as time goes by and the Lord will return. The writer said, don't stop. Make your time with God a priority. And I want to encourage you this year, the year 2007, make your time with God a priority. Sundays is God's day. It's the Lord's day. It's our time to focus on Him, to give to Him. Sunday morning is our time of worship together as a body in Christ. It's our celebration time. It's our time where we gather and we open up the Word, and as a church we share it together. Sunday night is still the Lord's day. It's still the Lord's day. And that is a time where we gather more for feeding on the Word, knowing the Word more, a deeper level, a deeper knowledge of the Word. The Bible says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. Make your time with God a priority. Make your personal time at home with God a priority. Don't give Him just whatever is left at the end of a day, just before you gather into bed and you're tired and weary and ready to fall asleep. And you say, okay, God, I'm going to pray now for 5 minutes. Dear Heavenly Father, like some of you are doing this morning. I see you're praying this morning. Don't pray right now, okay? Focus. So you can tell God you love Him by making time with Him a priority. But number two is a fun one that we all probably know, and that is by singing to God. Singing to God. You probably notice that music and love go together. Whenever you think of a handsome man wooing a beautiful lady, you know, like Romeo and Juliet, you think of him outside her balcony doing what? Playing on his guitar and singing love songs. I'd never done that. But that's what you think of. Why? Because it goes together. It's linked. Music and love are linked together. Christianity always has been, you know, about singing, a singing religion, singing beautiful songs to our God, our Creator. Why? Because it's not just about, you know, religion. It's about a relationship, a love affair with God. And so we want to sing to Him songs. We want to express our love, express our worship to Him. Out of singing, it comes out of your soul. That comes out of your emotions. That's what music does to us. Throughout the Old Testament, references made to playing, to singing to the Lord. Psalm 147 says, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God on the harp. And throughout the Psalms, you see, you know, commands to let Him have it. Give Him your best. Nothing will make you more aware of God's presence than singing and praise. I know some of you are saying, you don't understand, Pastor Ken. I don't sing. I can't carry a tune. I don't know how to sing. And God doesn't really mind that, because over and over it says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. It does. Can you make a joyful noise? I know you can. Some of you fellas who say, I can't sing a note. I know some of you guys get to rugby games and you make joyful noises. You can make a joyful noise to Him. You can make a joyful noise to God. Just let it out. You don't always have to hit the right note. Some of you, I think, come to church a little bit late sometimes. And maybe in your mind you think, you know, it's only the singing part. I'm going to get there in time for the important part. Anybody think that? I know it. I might be a little late, but that's okay. They're still singing. And you kind of relegate that to second class, second place. And you're here for the important part of getting into the Word. And I think that's a shame. That's a wrong attitude. That's a bad attitude. This is an appointment with God, first of all. But second, God loves to hear us worship and sing. What does it do to the heart of God to see us come in late and think nothing of it? Think nothing of our singing to Him, our expressing love to Him. Think about it. I'm not just getting on to you. I want you to really think about it next time we gather and we sing and worship songs to God. What you're doing. What are you doing? Where is your mind? And I also want to say that you can worship God through singing in more places than just church. My wife does it every morning in the shower. And it's a wonderful, beautiful way to wake up to worship going on in the bathroom. You can worship God on the lawnmower. You can worship God in the car. You can worship God out on the golf course, although people will think you're crazy. But you can worship God through singing. Express your love to Him. You don't have to have a beautiful voice. God thinks it's beautiful. And one day when you get to heaven, you may find that you have a nice voice. You may find, but if you never expressed it down here, God might not give you a nice voice in heaven. I don't know. So practice now. And give Him your best now. And then when you get to heaven, you may be blessed. Number three, I can express worship to God by taking my appointments seriously with Him, by singing to Him, and by, number three, talking with Him. This is our worship time. Talking with God. I admit I'm a slow learner sometimes, but I have figured out that a good marriage, a key to a good marriage, is good communication. If you do not communicate, you do not have a good relationship. That's simple. If you do not communicate, you do not have a good relationship. Again, so many are guilty of good communication until you get married and you think, I don't have to communicate much anymore. And then your marriage goes south, and before you know it, you don't know each other anymore. Why? Because you don't communicate. And some of you have been Christians for so long, and your communication with God has been quite limited. And years go by. And the truth is, you do not know Him very well because you do not communicate. A relationship doesn't just stay the same. Your relationship is either growing or it's declining. But it just doesn't stay the same. You have to work on that. And it takes communication. You can worship God by talking with Him. I remember myself as a teenager talking on the stupid telephone. I could call up friends and talk on the telephone for hours. I can't do that now. I don't know why. I hate talking on the phone. But I could talk and chat on the phone for hours and hours and hours. You were really, you know, getting to know someone. You were wanting to know all the deepest details about their lives and what's going on with them. And if you're a husband or wife and your partner never talks to you, you have every reason to start wondering, do they really love me? They don't ever communicate with me. And they begin to wonder. That's why, husbands, you need to talk to your wives. Wives need communication. They need it like vitamins, a daily dose. They need it every day. You know, the male speaks about 10,000 words a day. Females speak about 20,000 words a day. And you guys, you use up all your words when you're at work and you come home and you just have one syllable words left until you go to bed. You know, dear, you hungry? You want to watch TV? Had a good day? And your wife is starving to expend her words that she's got saved up. She wants communication. We need to communicate. You need to communicate with God. God. What do you talk to God about? Anything. Anything and everything. Psalm 116. I love the Lord, for He heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because He turned His ear to me, I will call on Him as long as I live. Do you hear the heart, the expression, the desire for communication here? The passion here a relationship, a love for God. If you don't feel close to God today, and some of you are here right now and you don't feel close to God. Some of you have been believers for a long time and maybe, honestly, you've lost that spark of passion in life. Your Christian life has become dull, routine, not joyful, lifeless, boring. There's no real joy anymore. There's a simple remedy, and that is simply start talking with God again. Worship God. Tell God you love Him by talking with Him, spending some time with Him. And as you talk to God, let me give you a few simple points. Don't impress God with your talk. Don't impress God with your talk. I'm a believer that, you know, formal prayers do not impress God. Don't impress Him. It doesn't impress Him. Don't try to impress God. Don't use cliches in your prayers. Speak to Him like you're speaking to a real person. Don't preach to God. I've heard prayers preached before. You ever heard of preaching prayer? It's a sermon and a prayer, and God's upstairs going, you know, I know this already. What are you preaching to me for? You're speaking to everybody else. So when you're praying, direct your words and your heart and everything to Him. Take time to listen to Him. Talk with Him. Number four, we express our love for God by obeying Him. This is the hard one. You guys, you know, you can say, okay, I can take my appointments with God seriously. Singing, yeah, I can do that. I'm not very good, but I'll do my best. I'll start talking to Him more, but man, when you start saying, I have to obey what God wants and says, that's a hard one. Obeying God. John 14, verse 15, Jesus says, if you love Me, what does He say? You will obey what I command. Simple. If you love Me, do what I say to do. 1 John 5, 3, this is love for God, to obey His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. His commands are life-giving. His commands are for our own good. He loves us. He's not putting a heavy burden on us. He's saying, the things I have asked you and told you, the directions that I have given to you for living, it's for you. Because I love you and I want you to have a good, successful, joyful life. But this is love for God, to obey His commands. I'm not talking about legalism here. I've been there. I've been in legalism before. Maybe some of you have too. You've been in places where it all seems very much pretend. You just toe the line and you obey all the rules that a church or a group sets down before you, and you know, you just look the part and everything's okay. You step out of line a little bit and man, you're toast. You've been there, I've been there. You don't have to dress like I do, although it would be good if everybody did. You don't have to cut your hair like me. That would also be good. I'd like that. You don't have to like my style of worship music all the time. You could have your enjoyment, your likes as well. That's not what we're talking about. But there are many, many things that the Bible clearly says, that Jesus says too, that we're to obey. Many things. And we worship God. We express our love to God by obeying His commands. There are many things. The Bible says to love each other. The Bible says that we're to forgive one another. The Bible says that we're not to gossip about each other. We're not to devour each other and cause dissension. Stir up trouble. The Bible says to watch the tongue. Watch what you say. The Bible tells us to avoid completely sexual immorality of any kind, before marriage, after marriage. And I tell young people, be faithful to your wife before marriage. Because one day you're going to find the godly woman that God wants you to marry, and she's going to have wanted you to have been faithful to her before you even met her. Are you faithful now? Be faithful to God and to your partner before marriage, and you will be faithful to her after marriage. Be honest and be faithful in all your dealings. Submit to authorities. Give your life completely as a living sacrifice to God. There are many things that we're to do that God has commanded us to do. Some of you, the command is simple, to be baptized. To repent and be baptized. Repentance comes first. Acknowledging that you're a sinner, that you are in need of a Savior. But some of you have taken that step and you've not obeyed God in the act of baptism. Why? Why not? That doesn't make sense to me to say, Jesus is Lord, but I'm not going to do what He says. Jesus is the boss, but I don't want to listen to what He has to say. That doesn't make any sense. There's some commandments. If you say you love God, obey Him. Do what He says. Some of you I know perhaps do not see God as a personal loving Father. But that's what He is. I remember a time when I was a teenager. And I really, really, really messed up. And I disobeyed my dad. I disobeyed him. I was caught. And the look that I saw in his eyes, it wasn't the look of hate. It wasn't even the look of condemnation. But I saw in his eyes a look. It was a look of pain. It was a look of sorrow. Because I saw and I knew that he loved me. And I could tell that he knew that what I was doing was going to hurt myself. And the look of disappointment and hurt and pain in his face hurt me. What do we do to God sometimes, though? What do you do to God sometimes? What do your actions at times do to God? Are you worshiping God by obeying Him, or are you constantly bringing pain to Him? He loves you. He wants a passionate relationship with you. And we bring Him pain. He's not here to make your life miserable. He's here to make it a joy and to give you abundant life. You worship God by obeying Him. Some of you have decisions to make. Some of you have confessions to make to God. Do it today. Do it today. The last day of this year. Start the new year off good. Start it off well. Another way we worship God is by giving to Him. You guys know this one. Giving is the essence of love. We just had Christmas time. You guys know that. What do you do for your loved ones? You give. You want to give. You don't give to everybody out on the street, but you do give to those who are special, those who are close, your loved ones. That's what love is about, giving. When you love someone, you want to give to them. Whether it's money or gifts or yourself or give them your time, give them your attention, your devotion, your commitment, you want to give to them. You can give without loving, but I think it's impossible to really love without giving. Do you understand? A lot of people give without loving. That's not a very nice gift. But you cannot love without giving. You cannot love and hold back yourself. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7. The church is admonished, just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. You got all the other things. You're loving. You got a lot of faith. You've got a lot of knowledge. Your speech, your talk, your earnestness, your love. Now let's see you excel in the grace of giving. That's where the rubber hits the road, as it would. He says, I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love. That's a test of the sincerity of love. How are you giving? There's a great song I love, and I've been listening to it more recently. Raise your hand if you know of the singer Keith Green. Cool. I wish more of you did. I don't know. It's not for everybody, I guess, but beautiful, powerful songs. But he has this one song that touched my heart. It's called To Obey is Better Than Sacrifice. You know that song? The simple lyrics simply say, to obey is better than sacrifice. I don't need your money, I want your life. It's not that God needs our money. Really. It's that He wants your life. And the truth is, you know, the Bible verse that says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. That's the truth. I didn't say that. That's not original to me. God said that. Jesus said that. Where your treasure is, where your things are, that's where your heart's going to be. And if you're like this, there's not a lot of love being expressed. If you're like this, with open hands, giving hands, then love is being displayed. Love is being shown. That's what Jesus did. Amen? He didn't go to the cross like this. He went to the cross like this. And He gave. He gave completely. He gave selflessly. He gave for you. God wants what your giving represents. And that is your heart. God so loved the world that He gave. You can either become like God, which is what He wants you to do. He wants you to be like Him and be a giver. Or you can become like Satan and be a stingy taker. He wants you to become like Him, like God. I've also discovered there are two types of givers. And I have been both in my life, honestly. But there are cheerful givers and there are fearful givers. Cheerful givers say, I'm going to give. It all belongs to God anyway. He gave everything to me. He takes care of my needs. And I wouldn't have anything without God, so I'm going to give it all to Him. And He can take care of my needs. It's God's anyways. Cheerful givers. Then there's the fearful ones that say, I really can't afford this. I can't afford to give. I've got to think of myself. I've got to look after number one. I've got to protect my interests. That's a fearful giver. God can't bless that. Why? Because He doesn't have the heart. He doesn't have your heart. He doesn't have your faith. He doesn't have your trust. God says, I will take care of your needs. And you're saying, yes, God, I trust You, but I better just make sure I do in case You don't. Giving to God shows and expresses love. Number six, and finally, is by being committed to Him. This is what love is about. It's about commitment. You don't really love somebody unless you're committed to them. Unless you're committed to their best. Nothing really significant happens without commitment. Total commitment. 2 Chronicles 16, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. God is looking for people whose hearts are totally, fully committed to God. What does it mean to be fully committed to God? It means I give my life completely to Jesus Christ. I lay my life down to Him. It means I'm committing my life to Him. It means I'm also choosing to grow in Him. I'm choosing to grow spiritually. I'm committed to knowing Him more, to knowing Him better. I'm committed to using my talents and my gifts to help and to serve other people. I'm committed to sharing my faith with other people as God allows, fulfilling my mission, fulfilling the purpose why God put me here. What we're talking about today, worship, is not just something that happens here in these walls. It's not something that just happens here on Sundays. Worship can happen anywhere. These six things that we've been going through are worship. It's expressing your love to God. Your life is to be worship to God. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God." This is your spiritual act of worship. Offer your bodies living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Have you offered yourself to God? Have you committed yourself to God? Are you committed? How are you expressing your love to God? Don't just do it through lip service. On the outside saying, "Yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I believe God." But yet, you're not making your time with Him a priority. You're not worshiping Him through song. You're not worshiping Him by talking to Him, by obeying Him. You're not worshiping Him in your giving or being committed. How are you doing? I'd encourage you in your heart and your mind to rate yourself. On a scale of 1 to 10, how am I doing in the area of making my time with Him a priority? How am I doing in these specific areas? Is there some areas that you've not been expressing love to God? Today, you've been shown and you see these various ways that you express love to God. And I want you to leave in with a commitment in your heart and your mind to begin to exercise these. Exercise them more. Exercise them passionately. Exercise them regularly. Make it a priority in your mind and your heart. Would you stand with me?